You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
And welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, a CFP, and an AEP. That's Certified Financial Planner and an Accredited Estate Planner, as well as a Certified Public Accountant. All those little initials, thought I maybe should explain them a little bit. Welcome to the show. You can have more information on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can also listen online at wdiy.org. I especially like to mention that for folks who enjoy the show, who are local, who might have family members who are outside of our listening area that may want to listen. There is also old shows on wdiy.org. We have podcasts of prior shows. I shouldn't say old shows, prior shows. And you can find those by searching for the programs on wdiy.org. So welcome to the show. Today is October 16th, 2013. The markets were up today. The Dow closing at 15,373. That was up 1.36. The NASDAQ at 3839, and the S&P closed at 1721. Last week, we discussed the financial planning process as we celebrated the Financial Planning Association's 12th Annual Financial Planning Week. I'm a member of the Financial Planning Association, so whenever I have the opportunity to promote financial planning, I certainly try to be an advocate for them and for the process. So hopefully folks got to listen to that. Next week is Estate Planning Week, but because I already had guests scheduled for next week, I'm going to go and fit in estate planning tonight. And that's because we're talking about taking care of those you love. And I thought estate planning works with that, but also WDIY works with that because we do have our pledge drive this evening. And I put in my notes, celebrate the pledge drive. It's not a burden for you. It's a celebration of WDIY and what this station brings to the community in the Lehigh Valley in particular, and a celebration of all the volunteers who are here every week. It's unbelievable. If you have any interest in radio, seeing how a station works, they're always looking for volunteers. So I want to celebrate the pledge drive tonight, celebrate the listeners who listen to WDIY. Some of you are members, some of you are not members, but you can find more information about becoming a member on the website or by calling the number tonight, 610-758-8810. I'm not talking about the pledge drive all night tonight. I am going to be talking about some estate planning, important information you should have. But again, the topic is taking care of those you love. So I want to make sure I pitch taking care of WDIY as well. And I'll tell you about all the wins on that when Bill comes back and helps me pitch for the pledge drive. All right. So we are live. We are here to take your questions. So if you would like to call in this evening, you still can. Judy Ann will answer your calls. Or if you get one of our volunteers, just ask them for Judy Ann, and they will put you right through to her, and she can take down your information and bring that question into me in the studio. That's what we're here for, to help answer your questions, and we will still do that even though we're amidst our pledge drive. We do discuss general financial planning topics, not specific investments. And though I typically have a topic each week, if you have something off topic that you've just been wanting to ask me, you are certainly welcome to call and ask your question. The number is 610-758-8810. And you can also use email at yourfinancialchoices.com. Okay? So tonight, taking care of those you love. That can come in many different forms. You could mean sharing your time, your talent, your treasure. It could mean taking care of yourself, being healthy, or spending time with your family members, or spending time working for your favorite charity. So there's many ways to take care of those you love. I love talking about estate planning. I worked for a law firm for 9 years doing estate planning. I'm not an attorney. As we say at the top of the show, consult your attorney if you have matters relating to estate planning documents, etc. But I'm also a member of the Estate Planning Council of the Lehigh Valley. And we talk about Estate Planning Week next week. It's about all of us in the professional services promoting estate planning, promoting people taking care of business, because that is eventually going to affect those that you love. So when I talk tonight about taking care of those you love, that's where the estate planning comes in. On recent past shows, I spoke about the who, what, where, why, when, and how of estate planning. And you can, as I mentioned earlier, find those podcasts on the website, wdiy.org. Just search for your financial choices program and you should find it somewhere. But tonight I want to talk about, after you kind of sort through that who, why, where, what, when, what, how, all of that, I want to talk about some of the basic estate planning needs, including estate documents. So I will go through that. And as I mentioned, it is pledge drive this week. So I also want to talk about taking care of nonprofits that you love and how you can do that. And one of those nonprofits is WDIY. I also would like to put out there, and I'll mention this again as we go through the show, for my regular listeners, love you. Thanks so much. If you are a regular listener, you'll know during pledge drives, I usually try to put a challenge myself out there. And I will write a check for $250 tonight, and I do this a couple times a year, $250 if during this hour we could get at least $500 in pledges. So $500 in pledges, that could be five people pledging $100, 10 people pledging $50. Now, I was told, I think the normal membership, Jeff, is $60. So let's say $60. Even if we could get $600, that would be 10 people at $60. And you can call in and talk to one of our volunteers and start that pledge so that you, if you do it right away at the beginning of the show, then you can sit and listen to the rest of the show without being worried about this. So the number is 610-758-8810. And if you want to do a pledge and have a question, you can always take care of the pledge and then ask to be put through to Judy Ann, and she can take your question down and bring it in to me. So I'll put up $250 if we get at least $500 in pledges in this next hour. So do it sooner than later, because I get really excited when I meet that goal. I get really excited. I feel like it's my mission, and I need my listeners to help with that because I have such great listeners. So let's start with those basic estate documents that you need. First of all, I want to mention you really should start with an experienced estate attorney. And for information about estate planning, there is a website, EPC. That's for the Estate Planning Council, epclehighvalley.org. I'm not sure you can get the list of attorneys there, but there may be some information there talking about, you know, for the public general, estate planning information that could help you make some decisions. The basic documents that you need, you'll hear about, but not everybody has them, believe it or not. And I think sometimes that people are a little bit shy or self-conscious about admitting that they don't have documents. You know, it's like telling someone you don't brush your teeth or something. You know, you don't want to admit certain things you just expect that people are doing. So you really need to have estate planning documents. And I promise you, it's not as difficult as you might think. Attorneys are trained in going through this with couples or individuals who need documents. They take you through the process. You sometimes might be hesitating because of fees. If that's a sensitivity to you, then you should call around and see what kind of fees you could expect from attorneys. And maybe your estate planning isn't so complicated that it would cost as much as you might think. So don't live in fear about fees. You know, you should have more fear about dying without documents. So some basic documents that you should have drawn up would be a will, power of attorney, health directives and a living will. In Pennsylvania, they could be the same document combined. So when you're thinking about that, you also want to think about who will be caregivers for you if you're incapacitated, or guardians for minor children. So we go back to some of those questions I covered a couple weeks ago, that who, what, when, where, why, and how. Go back and listen to those podcasts if you need more information on that. Or again, if you have questions tonight, I'm happy to answer the questions. The number is 610-758-8810. So those basic documents obviously are going to take some soul searching and some work on your part to gather all your assets and total those up and know how they're titled and know who your beneficiaries are, and also your liabilities as well. So you do have to do a little bit of homework, but then when you have that homework done, you're ready to go get your documents done. That's when you call that attorney and research how much it's going to cost you if that's a concern. So basically, what is a will? The will is the document that directs who will handle your financial responsibilities after you die. And those responsibilities include paying your debts, your inheritance and or estate taxes, your income taxes, filing your income tax, paying administrative expenses of your estate, and finally, distributing your assets that were in your name alone. Pay attention to what I just said there. Distributing your assets that were in your name alone according to your wishes. And those wishes are spelled out in your will. So in your will, you name someone to have that power. And we usually refer to them as your executor or personal representative. You may also need to name a guardian for your minor children if you have them, or a trustee for any trust established under your will, if that's needed. Why would we put a trust under our will? Well, maybe you might say, I want my assets to go to my children, but if my children are minors, put it in trust for them. So that's when you would have to maybe name a trustee in your will for a trust that is established through your will, which means it happens at your death. And we usually call those testamentary trusts. You also name any specific powers or management provisions you want those that personal representative or executor to have. So you name specific powers or management provisions you want in the will that executor and or trustee can go and carry out your wishes. Okay, so that's a will. I'm going to introduce someone in the studio with me in just a second. And when we come back from this little break, we're going to continue our discussion about estate documents that you need. And right now, I want to welcome into the studio Bill Dautremont-Smith,
Hi, Laurie.
And public affairs coordinator. I said that so fast, I thought, did I say that right?
You probably recognize me as the retired executive director, recently retired executive director, but I'm still continuing as our public affairs programming coordinator for Lehigh Valley Discourse. We have every Thursday, and Lehigh Valley Arts Salon on every Monday. And my pleasure to be back here. And the reason I'm back here is to ask for your support, to ask you to pick up the phone and make that phone call to 610-758-8810, or go securely online to wdiy.org and just hit that donate button. And it's remarkably easy. And we come to you twice a year. We try to restrict the length of our pledge drives. We're doing only 6 days because a number of people pledged in advance and avoided the first 3 days of the pledge drive. We've got 6 days. This is your only opportunity to show your support for your financial choices with Laurie Siebert right here on WDIY. And Laurie has laid down a challenge on the table.
Oh,
a generous challenge. Of course I did. It's already notated. And we need to get $500. In donations in order for Laurie to pony up the additional $250 she just put on the table in front of us. And you and a few others, maybe four or five of you, do a sustaining membership level, $10 a month on your credit card. That's $120 a year, so that will count as $120 towards picking up the extra $250 challenge from Laurie. $10 a month on your credit card, about 33 cents a day. I suspect the value you get just from listening to Your Financial Choices, that could easily have made you many hundreds of dollars a year in the financial advice that Laurie gives to you. Now is the time to show your appreciation for the financial advice that Laurie has brought to you and all the programming that you hear on WDIY every day of the week. We need you to call, and that just like Donna did at the end of All Things Considered, and that Donna called in and became a new sustaining member. So thank you to Donna. That unfortunately doesn't count to this challenge. It specifically was during All Things Considered. Become a renewing or new member or an extra gift. Any donation will be thanked with a donation of food to the Second Harvest Food Bank, courtesy from our partnership with Price Right Supermarket and with Cabot Cheese. We will be donating a major donation of food, and each donation to us triggers a food gift. And we hope, if we meet our goals for this pledge drive, we'll be donating over 850 boxes of cereal and over 100 pounds of cheese to Second Harvest Food Bank right here in the Lehigh Valley to feed those in need as we go into the winter. And that's when, shortage of food, hungriness becomes the biggest problem. And your gift can support both Community Public Radio, WDIY, and support the hungry in the Lehigh Valley, while at the same time, all of your money will go to support programming on WDIY. So two good deeds, but you can only achieve that by picking up the phone and making that call, 610-758-8810, or securely online at wdiy.org. Don't let Laurie's $250 challenge go begging. Please make that call, you and four others, and we should get there. 610-758-8810.
Well, and Bill, you mentioned that we will see two organizations benefit, WDIY and Second Harvest, but it's also the individual benefiting, because when I said it's a win-win-win-win, it's a win because WDIY continues programming, continues bringing programs like Your Financial Choices, Second Harvest. They win because they can help take care of the people who go hungry, which should make everyone emotional and teary-eyed, in my opinion. But the individuals donating also get wonderful, great feelings from doing this. At least I hope so. And I am convinced and sure that the WDIY listeners are a very compassionate people, an excellent group of listeners. I will attest to that. And they also, if they itemize their deductions, could get a tax deduction.
That's
so
absolutely
that's
right.
The win, 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 win. There's just everything to feel good about making a contribution to WDIY. I'm very passionate about doing this. I've been on the station about 4 years. I love educating people, and what a platform to be able to do it on with such other great programming that you have here every other week. And this $250, I don't take this lightly. You know, $250, I do that a couple times a year, folks, and I have a lot of other organizations that I help promote and sponsor as well. But WDIY is one that I have near and dear to my heart. And I'm also fortunate that my husband works at Air Products, and we usually get a match.
Exactly. Air Products are absolutely magnificent in their matching gift program. So if you worked for a major employer in the region here, and in particular for Air Products, but for PPL or many, many others, we can tell you if your employer does do a matching gift program. Exercise your vote into where your employer's matching gifts go. It's your right as an employer to decide where those donations go. So you make that vote of support for WDIY, and your company's matching gift program will come in with their matching gift. And in the case of Air Products, it's a really generous matching gift. So that's actually a four-way win we have on the table right now. But seriously, support. Laurie volunteers both her time to put together an excellently prepared program every week when she comes in here. And on top of that, she's volunteering some extra money, which will bring in that extra gift as well. So effectively, it's a lot more than just her $250 that's on the table. And we can only get that if you make that call, 610-758-8810, or go securely online at wdiy.org. We know you're a compassionate audience, and we are trusting you and counting on you. 610-758-8810.
Thank you, Bill. And thank you, listeners, for taking the opportunity to listen to us and understand the benefits of WDIY. And hopefully those benefits continue and come back to you in more ways than one, and one of those hopefully financially in your financial decisions, because each week I try to bring something new, something interesting to help you in your financial decisions, whether it's helping you kind of develop the instincts around financial choices. Remember, each and every week, I always end with be proactive, not reactive. It's about being present in your decisions. And I believe by listening to the shows where we try to give a broad range of topics that affect, you know, you in week in and week out, that you're making better financial decisions. And hopefully one of those financial decisions is making a contribution to WDIY. The show tonight is about taking care of those you love. And WDIY is, I hope, one of those organizations that you love. And with a donation here tonight, during this hour, during your financial choices, I take a lot of pride in the listeners contributing during this hour. Second Harvest Food Bank will also benefit. And if you itemize your deductions, you'll also get a tax deduction and good feelings. When we talk about charitable giving and donations, as I mentioned, it was a tax deduction. I want to also mention something I was going to kind of point out later in the show, but I'm going to put it in right now because I think it could be appropriate. If you are 70 and a half or older, if you're listening and you are 70 and a half or older, maybe you're a young listener and you have a parent who's 70 and a half or older, and they have a retirement account, an IRA, 401k, where they are required to take out minimum distributions. In 2013, we still have a special tax provision that says if you are of that age, you can take out money out of your IRA and have the check written directly to a charity, and it will not be income taxable to you. You don't itemize it or take it as a deduction then on your Schedule A because you're not having to report the income. So let's pretend you're someone who has not taken your required minimum distribution yet for 2013. And let's say you're someone who's charitably inclined, whether it's to your church or to organizations like WDIY or some other nonprofit in the Lehigh Valley. In lieu of you taking that check, that minimum required distribution, you can ask your custodian. You fill out a form and say you want it to go to charity, and you name the charity. They'll tell you what paperwork has to be completed. And they are going to complete the check to the charity, and then you're going to give the check to charity. You don't have to then report that income on page one. How can that come in handy? Let's pretend then you're someone who also has Social Security. Social Security gets taxed based on how much income you have on page one of your return. The more income you have, the more chance that your Social Security will be income taxed. If you only have Social Security, you're probably not going to pay any income tax on it. But if you're someone who has Social Security, maybe a pension, some IRA money, some interest, some dividends, there's like a little sweet spot there where some of your Social Security might get taxed up to 50%. Maybe it might be included in your income up to 85%. I don't mean that's the tax rate. I mean it gets included in your income up to that amount. If you don't have to put that IRA minimum required distribution on page one because you didn't need it and you let it go to charity instead, then you've reduced the income on page one and maybe you'll reduce the amount of your Social Security that would be included as income. So it's a little bit of a tax planning strategy. You might have to have someone help you through that. But especially people out there who know they have parents who are in required minimum distribution phase, maybe they're very charitable, this is a great option, something to consider if they're giving money to charity anyway or to nonprofits, and you could do that here at WDIY as well. You could have your minimum required distribution directed to that charity or nonprofit. Now, remember, you have to do the paperwork a special way, so make sure you check into that. You don't have to do the whole thing. So let's pretend your minimum required distribution is $10,000 and you want to give $2,000. You can do $2,000 to the charity and take the rest out in a check to yourself, and that would fulfill your minimum required distribution. So don't think you have to do it all. At the same time, let's say your required minimum distribution is only $5,000, but you really want to give $10,000 away to your favorite charity or nonprofit? You can. As long as you're over age 70 and a half and in that minimum required distribution phase, you can do up to $100,000. So let's pretend you're someone with $1 million IRA. You don't think you're ever going to use that money because you have lots of other money. You could actually have $100,000 out of your, take $100,000 out of your IRA, and that money won't even show up on page one of your return. It can go directly to the charity. So a little bit of planning there. There's still plenty of time till the end of the year for you to do that. But let me warn you, after December 31st of 2013, we may not have that option available. Right now, I think that qualified charitable distribution is not on the table for 2014. And so if you're thinking about doing it now. What's happened with that provision in the law, it kind of comes and goes and comes and goes the last few years. And sometimes they tell us it's that they're going to allow it on January 4th of the next year, and it's a little late. Another time they came through and said, oh, December 17th, we say, yes, you can do your qualified charitable distribution. Well, it's a little late for some people. So I'm not sure if in 2014 that provision will be available, but it's definitely available for 2013. So something to think about. And then, boy, when we're talking about wins tonight, that would be a win-win-win-win, lots of wins. Okay, so keep that in mind. For those who are charitably inclined and in required minimum distribution phases, you still may make a qualified charitable distribution to your favorite charity or nonprofit by the end of the year. I think the only organization you cannot make that to is a private foundation. So I do not believe it qualifies for a private foundation, where normally that would be a charitable deduction for you, but it is not going to be a qualified charitable distribution to a private foundation. Okay, so keep that in mind. So we are talking about taking care of those you love, and we have been also doing our pledge drive. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. You can call and ask for Judy Ann, and she will take down the question and bring that into the studio this evening. For regular listeners, you know I love questions, and so if you have any, 610-758-8810. I also want to say hi to Elaine if she is listening. A little bird told me Elaine called and asked what time the show was on, so if you're listening, hello. When we're talking about those documents we need, those documents to take care of those you love, I already talked about the will. Let's talk about trust for a minute. I mentioned at a little earlier before we had our pledge break that you could have a trust under your will. We call that a testamentary trust. It doesn't come into action until you die. And even then, it might not come into action. It all depends on what the provisions are in your will. Typically, what we see is if I'm passing assets to my children and my children are minors, then I might say, if my children are minors, please put it in trust. That's a testamentary trust. We sometimes see them for spouses. We might say, if my estate's really huge and I'm trying to work with estate planning techniques and the federal estate tax and exemptions, I might make a trust that says for my spouse, a marital trust, a bypass trust, those types of provisions. We're not seeing that need as often anymore because the federal estate tax exemption has gone so high, but there still could be a place for those. So sometimes we have those kinds of trust under wills. They don't have to be a separate trust document, but sometimes we need a separate trust. A trust you might want or need could be a life insurance trust. That's typically used when someone has a really big estate and they're, you know, expecting to pay big federal estate taxes, and they don't want their life insurance to be subject to estate taxes. So they have a trust own the policy separately outside of their control. We call that an irrevocable life insurance trust. So sometimes we see that written up as a separate trust. Sometimes people might put trust assets in a living trust while they're alive. They put them in a living trust just in case something happens to them, like they might become incapacitated and they just think it might be a better way to control assets. Maybe they have assets outside of, you know, their state of residence. Maybe they want to get that set up during their lifetime and put assets that are in other states inside a trust, making it easier for administration purposes. So there are a number of ways or uses for trust separate from what you might have through your will. So I can talk a little bit more about that when we come back from our pledge break. And I want to welcome back Bill, Dr. Mott-Smith. Hello.
Hi, Laurie. Thank you. Sorry for interrupting the programming, but you know we have to do this in order to keep bringing you your financial choices. Every week we have bills to pay, we have expenses to pay, and we need your support to do it. We are community public radio. We are listener supported. We are supported by listeners like you becoming members. And you do that by making that phone call, 610-758-8810, or going securely online at wdiy.org. We have one caller on the line right now, and we probably need about another five or six to meet Laurie's challenge. Laurie has generously put $250 on the table if we can raise $500 during the course of your financial choices. So now is the time to reflect over the last 6 months or so since our last pledge drive, or multiple point, even over the last year. What value has your financial choices been to you? Has Laurie saved you some significant amounts of money with the financial advice you received from her? She's directed you in the right directions for using your money effectively and efficiently and not wasting any of your money, really leveraging what you have to greater benefit. If you have benefited from Laurie's advice, now is the time to show your support for her programming. And the caller on the line, yes, I'd just like to offer the thanks. Alyssa from Bethlehem has become a sustaining member. Alyssa from Bethlehem, thank you. Please join Alyssa by making that phone call, 610-758-8810, or securely online at wdiy.org. There's only about 25 minutes left of your financial choices, so don't procrastinate, don't delay. Pick the phone up right away, 610-758-8810, or securely online at wdiy.org. And as we mentioned before, we will thank you with a donation of food to Second Harvest Food Bank, and food is badly needed for the hungry and needy in the Lehigh Valley in the coming months. And all of your donation will go to support programming on WDIY, but courtesy of the generosity of Price Right Supermarkets and Cabot Cheese, a food donation will be triggered by your gift to WDIY. You can do that by making that phone call, 610-758-8810.
I love the idea of the food donation, Bill, and I don't know how, you know, listeners couldn't be spurred into action, especially during your financial choices. The hour that I'm here, I really take this personally. Can I guilt the listeners anymore? I feel guilty about things I've never done. So I'm hoping that the listeners really get something out of the show. I put a lot into it. I do love doing the show. I love educating. I love teaching people about their financial choices, because I've always felt like not everyone has access to, you know, financial advisors. And this is a great way, a great program that WDIY provides. So this $250 challenge, I do not take it lightly. I really hope our listeners come in. We really only have 25 minutes. Last spring, I think we had done this, and we came right up to the edge.
Right to
the
wire.
I don't want people to wait. I want them to do it now so I can stop thinking about it, and I can be excited that the listeners of your financial choices came through for the station.
Yeah, come through, put a smile on Laurie's face. She's got a little frown on her face, a little bit worried here, but she really wants to donate that money. And she donates her time every week. We are community public radio, and our on-air hosts are all volunteers, freely donating their time and efforts to WDIY. But we still have expenses. We still have bills to pay. We have to pay for all of the NPR programming that we bring you. We have rent and utilities to pay, and we have lots of consumable materials that get used as well. We have staff salaries to pay, and we have a minuscule staff here. We only have 5.5 staff at WDIY, and we operate the whole station on a budget of barely over $500,000 a year to keep a station on the air 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So we are really, really frugal with your contributions. Nothing goes to waste. It goes to support the programming here on this station. But we do need you to make that call of support and make a donation. And we suggest you do it at a sustaining level of $10 a month on your credit card. a lot less than many of the other regular debits on your credit card. I mean, your cable TV or satellite TV or your phone bill or your internet connectivity, all of those are dramatically more than $10 a month. But think $10 a month, that will really help out at WDIY, 33 cents a day. If what WDIY brings you is worth 33 cents a day, pick up the phone now and make that call, 610-758-8810, and a food donation will be made in recognition of your pledge. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. And we had a couple calls come in. Let me remind you of the phone number, 610-758-8810. We told you you could call in with questions, so I am happy to report that we have had a couple. We have Albert, who's out on 22. He said, no will in place, and he works for the federal government. In the event of something happening to him, where would benefits go? Are they automatically to spouse, or would there be probate or other issues? Albert, without a will, what happens is, if you have assets in your name alone, those assets are subject to probate because we don't know who gets those assets without looking at a will or a document. So if you have a bank account in your name alone, how do we know who gets it? The assumption, unfortunately, for a lot of people is that the spouse automatically gets it. That's not necessarily so. It depends on the intestate rules, intestate meaning you don't have a will, the intestate rules for whatever state of residency where you are. So if you are a Pennsylvania resident and you don't have a will, if your accounts are all joint with your spouse, Albert, then by that provision, if it's joint by the rights of entireties with a spouse, then it would automatically go to your spouse. That's non-probate. We don't have to look to the will to see who gets it. If you have named beneficiaries on your documents, if you've named your spouse, the beneficiary on your pension, the beneficiary on your 403B or your 401K or your tax shelter program, whatever you might have through the government, if you have your spouse named as the beneficiary, then that would go to her automatically. Those assets are called non-probate. We don't have to look to the will to see who gets them because the beneficiary designation tells us that. The trouble is, Albert, sometimes we can't capture all of our assets that way with asset titling or beneficiary designation. Sometimes assets creep up that we forgot about. You might have a car that's in your name alone. Well, in Pennsylvania, there are provisions for a car to go to a spouse without having to go through that process, but there might be other assets that we end up finding, you know, after the fact. So then the intestate rules would apply. And the intestate rules are a little bit more complicated. You'll want to see an attorney about that. But in essence, if you have a spouse, that would be considered. But if you have a spouse and children and you have assets that are probate and you don't have a will, then your children may share in those assets that you hadn't anticipated. You thought it was all going to go to your spouse because you had a spouse. But if you have children as well and you're intestate, those assets may get be distributed in ways that you had not thought about or had counted on. So you want to make sure you go get a will. It's really painless. Just do your homework a little bit and get it all done and taken care of, and then you won't have to worry about it. So, you know, I guess you could allay a little bit of fear if you have the proper titling and some beneficiary designations, but that's still not enough. You still need a will. If I have time, I'm going to go through that just to make sure. It's your catch-all, really, Albert. We also had another call from Alyssa in Bethlehem, and she said, what do you think about appointing an executor if you don't have family or anyone immediate? Alyssa, this is a great question, and sometimes people have family members that they still don't trust. So even if you have a family member, it doesn't mean you always will appoint them as an executor. So what you can consider is either a trusted friend, maybe a trusted distant relative, maybe a corporate fiduciary. So there are trust companies that can serve as executors if you don't have an individual that you can find to serve. Sometimes attorneys will do this for you, but quite often they will worry that there's a conflict of interest and not take that position. What I have not seen is maybe if one attorney writes the documents and maybe another attorney could serve as an executor. I haven't seen that, but I'm wondering why we haven't seen that. So you do have options. So the other thing I guess you should think about is, you said, what do you think about appointing an executor if you don't have family or anyone immediate? If you have a friend or maybe a distant relative who could do it, for the most part, they do have to follow the provision of the will. So even if they're not an family member or an immediate family member, if they are trustworthy and they can follow the rules that the will says, basically, this is how you're going to distribute the assets and they gather the assets, that could still be someone to consider. But again, you have the option of using a corporate fiduciary that is typically, you know, an officer, a trust officer at a trust company or bank. Okay, great questions tonight, folks. I appreciate that. I also appreciate listeners who call in and pledge their support to WDIY. I'm putting $250 of my own money out tonight. I'm writing a check before I leave. If we get $500 of pledges, I need to still pitch that, even though Bill's not here to help me pitch it, because I want that $500 from the listeners tonight. I really hope you come through for me. If more of you do it, then it's less that you each have to contribute. And we already had one member call in and renew, and I think that was Alyssa, and I want to thank her for that very much. So let's call in 610-758-8810. If you have questions, you can still call in at 610-758-8810. Ask for Judy Ann. She'll bring in the question for me just as easily as she did for Alyssa and Albert. So thank you very much. All right, we were talking about documents. We were talking about the will. The will takes care of the assets that otherwise don't have any other beneficiary designation or titling. It's those assets, when you think about it, that we don't know who's going to get them. That's how I like to think, you know, explain it to people to make it as simple as possible. How do I know who's going to get this asset? Well, if you tell me, oh, well, it's joint with my sister. Oh, okay. Well, if it's joint with your sister with rights of survivorship, I know your sister will get it. If it's joint ownership with tenants in common, that doesn't automatically go to sister. Tenants in common, we each own our separate share. If I die, my share goes according to my will. That becomes a probate asset. So make sure you know how you have accounts titled if they're joint. Are they joint with rights of survivorship, or are they joint with tenants in common? Normally, when we're joint with spouses, normally, it's by the entireties, it automatically passes to the spouse. But even spouses can have assets titled tenants in common. So just be real clear about how you have your assets titled so that you know if it's going to be subject to probate or not. If it's subject to probate, you need a will to see who is going to get the assets, and you appoint your executor, etc., as we just talked about, making sure that it's someone that, you know, you trust, that they can carry out your wishes, etc. I had mentioned a trust could be under your will. You'll have to name a trustee. You could also have a separate trust with a trustee, and it's going to be similar to what I just talked about with Alyssa, and that is you want someone who's going to carry out your wishes. Sometimes a trust can go on for years and years and years, so you want to make sure that you appoint someone who's going to be able to handle that responsibility, whether it's an individual or a corporate trustee, and not only handle that responsibility today, but maybe in the ongoing years. So you also want to have provisions for a backup trustee or a successor trustee should something happen to the current trustee. Okay, so make sure you take care of that. And also within trust documents, you will spell out the powers you want that trustee to have, as well as administrative and distribution provisions, etc. Distribution of assets. Are we distributing income? Are we distributing principal? Are we distributing both? And the sort. So you can work through that with your attorney. You also want to look at having a power of attorney. The power of attorney, typically we're talking about the financial power of attorney versus a medical power of attorney. The financial power of attorney helps direct your financial matters. And those financial matters may occur when you're just unavailable. Nothing's wrong with you. You're just out of town. Maybe you need someone to sign something for you. You can have a power of attorney for that. So you may be unavailable, you may be incapable, maybe you had an accident and you're in a coma or something, so you're incapable or you're incapacitated, maybe you had an accident and now you're you know, mental capacity has been, you know, hindered. So you can't handle your financial matters yourself for whatever reason. That's your power of attorney. That, you know, when we talk about what documents to have or not to have, when Albert called earlier, no will means he probably doesn't have a power of attorney either. And it's real important for people who travel, people who go out on business, to make sure that you have a power of attorney in case something happens to you when you're out of the area and someone else has to sign for you. So you typically name a trusted family member, a relative, friend, corporate fiduciary, maybe an attorney, and that power gives that person, your agent, the ability to act on your behalf when managing your assets, your property, your businesses, etc., within the guidelines that you set. And typically those guidelines are fairly broad. Normally you want your agent to be able to just kind of step into your shoes and take care of the financial matters for you. And that includes gifting, and you can even kind of put parameters around the gifting. When we're talking about gifting, we're talking about gifting also to WDIY, the show taking care of those you love. And WDIY is an organization that we love, which is why I'm going to write a check for $250 if we get 500. Can you tell me if we're close?
We're not. We have just over 400 to go still, I'm afraid.
What? That's nobody.
I know. It's if you're listening out there, maybe it's your, I have an example here which should be inspiration to you. We had a listener who called in right at the end of All Things Considered, and it was Donna of Bethlehem. It was her very first time of listening to WDIY, she told us on the phone, her very first time of listening. And she called in with a pledge and became a sustaining member. She committed a monthly donation as a sustaining member on her very first time of listening to WDIY. Now, I'm sure there's many of you out there who've been listening for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and haven't yet stepped over that threshold to become a supporting member, not just a listener, but a member who has ownership in the output that comes out from the station by being a member, that your dollars are going to support the programming. We need you, our listeners, to come through with a donation of support. And you can do that by making a call to 610-758-8810. And we need probably six or seven, maybe six of you in the next 10 minutes before your financial choices end. And so Laurie will give us that extra challenge of $250. Please make that call, 610-758-8810, or go securely online at wdiy.org. Either is fine. And become a sustaining member at $10 a month. Maybe you'd like to jump in, become a sustaining member at $30 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. And I think most people would agree WDIY brings them a dollar a day of value. Just think if WDIY wasn't here, or think about, hey, maybe I could miss a cup of coffee or a beer each week. Hey, you're getting close to having an extra $1 a day to donate to WDIY. If somebody comes in at a $30 a month pledge level, that's $360. That gets us close to meeting Laurie's challenge. But look, $30 a month, $25 a month, $20 a month, $15 a month, $10 a month, any of those are all good ways to become a sustaining member. Or you can become a basic member at $60, or you can do $88.10 membership level, or $120 membership level. The key thing is become a supporting member of WDIY. Support the programming you're listening to now, and probably you listen to many, many times a week. Keep your community public radio station here in the Lehigh Valley, your NPR station. Keep us viable. We depend on public support. We depend on our listeners to come through. Please make that call, 610-758-8810, or go securely online at wdiy.org. And don't let Laurie's challenge go begging.
And with your donation, there is also going to be a food donation to Second Harvest Food Bank with the partner Price Right Supermarkets and
Cabot Cheese,
which is wonderful. These are partners who are in this with us, just like you, the listeners, are in with us. We're all together. Doesn't that feel good? We're part of the club. Call and make your pledge. I want to give that donation of $250. I really would appreciate it our listeners to call in. I pretty much have always kind of come close to those challenges, Bill. I would be surprised if tonight we don't come a little bit closer.
What's happening tonight?
And Alyssa called in right early in the show and made her donation, and I really appreciate that. I hope that other listeners call in tonight. It's really easy to do. The phone number is 610-758-8810. I have passion around doing this, and I want you, the listener, to have passion around WDIY and passion around the programs that are brought to you, and make it feel like it's worth it, you know, right. that it's adding value.
Maybe you've called that number during your financial choices during other weeks, and you've called in for financial advice from Laurie. You've asked a question, maybe on air or off air, on that same number, 610-758-8810. If you've benefited from the advice that Laurie's given you on those phone calls, now it's the time to call that same number, but to make a pledge of support, make a donation in support of programming here on WDIY. We ask you twice a year to do that, and now is one of those times. It's your only opportunity this fall to show your appreciation for your financial choices and for Laurie Siebert, and to help us pick up the extra $250 challenge from Laurie. 610-758-8810. Time is running out. We need about five of you to pick up that phone and make the call. 610-758-8810. We're depending on you. We count on you. You can do it, please.
Bill, can I ask if we can check if the pledges are coming through on the website, wdiy.org?
I am checking every 5 minutes, and I am going to go back instantly as soon as I leave this microphone. I will be checking on our website. So either way, make our phones ring. We've got three operators waiting to take your calls, and you can do it on the web as well. We could do five in the next 2 minutes, and we'd be there. 610-758-8810.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Let's do it. And we have another volunteer right here in the studio as well. Jeff Williams is here with me every week.
Folks, you got to give us a call, please. Lori is chomping at the bit to write that check. So give us a call, 610-758-8810. We're waiting for you.
You know, Jeff, what it is I'm actually very competitive, and I like to say that your financial choices comes through for WDIY.
Absolutely. We're waiting for you guys. Okay. Give us a call.
Thank you, Jeff. Folks, we've been talking about taking care of those you love tonight, and in particular, making sure your estate planning documents are in order, as well as donating to your favorite organizations like WDIY, and all the benefits that you get from doing both of those things. The benefit of doing your estate planning is that you don't have to live in fear anymore that, you know, something's going to happen to you, and you're leaving your family members, you know, kind of wondering what's going on. It's just so much more complicated if you don't have estate planning documents put in order. It just makes it a lot easier when it's such a stressful period of time for people when they lose a loved one. Very simple. You contact a good estate planning attorney. You go and have your documents done. And typically those documents, as I've mentioned tonight, are your will, your power of attorney, and your health directives and living will, which now pretty much can be combined in Pennsylvania. We call that the health care power of attorney. So the health care power of attorney usually encompasses the taking care of medical matters when you may not be able to, if you're in an accident, who's making decisions about what kind of medical care you might need, a living will when the process is a little bit more advanced and there's bigger decisions to be made, like whether we stay plugged in or not. Those can be such emotional decisions for family members who are left to make that without any directions from you. And it helps them. It helps you. You know if your wishes are going to be held based on documents that you implement, initiate, sign, etc. You get with a good estate planning attorney and you take care of things like that so that your wishes, you know what's going to happen. Your family doesn't have to sit there and wonder and make decisions, you know, that could be life or death for you, and live with the consequences of those, whether they leave you, you know, plugged into a machine or not. That could have various emotional consequences to your loved ones. So taking care of your estate planning documents certainly will add peace of mind to them, and it'll make you feel good that you have that all taken care of. Now, there are some brochures available that you can get online through the Pennsylvania Bar Association about estate planning and through the Pennsylvania Office of the Attorney General about estate planning. And one of the big things I saw on the website for the Office of the Attorney General, estate planning, how to identify and avoid living trust scams. And the reason I wanted to point this out is, you know, my dear, dear mother, who I love so much, has said to me a couple times, all my friends have trust and they say I need one. Well, my mother doesn't need one, but those people might be influenced by organizations that from time to time come into local neighborhoods and put on seminars where they talk about, you know, setting up a living trust and how you need one. So you just have to be careful. You have to identify and avoid living trust scams. And there's a little brochure on the Pennsylvania Office of Attorney General website about how to avoid that. Not everyone needs a living trust. And if you talk to a good estate planning attorney, someone who's in your local community, rather than someone who's driving in and holding a seminar and then driving back out of town the next day after they've taken your $2,000, you just want to make sure that you're talking to someone who's local, that has a good reputation, that you know you can see week in and week out, maybe even at the grocery store. So check out Avoiding Living Trust Scams. I hope to have an attorney on soon, and we can talk about some of that. And then also the Pennsylvania Bar Association has a great estate planning brochure pamphlet about consumer legal information, about having a will. Do you need a will? What if you change your mind? That type of thing. What is probate? So it looks like we've come to the close of our show. I'm not sure we met our challenge. I guess we'll have to try again in 6 months. If you still have time, you still can call and make a pledge to WDIY. I certainly would appreciate it. This is your host, Lori Siebert of Your Financial Choices. We're here each and every week trying to help you make better financial decisions, better financial choices, by bringing you different topics relating to your financial life. Next week, I am going to have on the show Russ Wild, an MBA and financial advisor at Global Portfolios and author of Bond Investing for Dummies, and Kevin Brosius, CFP and financial advisor at Wealth Management. Kevin and Russ are co-authors of a recent article titled Bonds and Interest Rate Risk. So we're going to talk about bond investing with them. I want to thank the listeners tonight for calling in. Thank you so much. Thank you for those of you who did pledge. I appreciate it so much. Thank you, Judy Ann. Thank you for Jeff. Thank you, Bill, for being here. Stay tuned for In the Tradition Folk Music with Tom Druckenmiller. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices.